Resignation comes a day after both men.
That's a rather famous group called the Bothy Band from their very first album back in 1975, self-titled. And we heard a set of jigs. Start with the Kess jig and then give us a drink of water, the flower of the flock, and famous, is it Ballymote?
Ballymote, that's right. That's Ballymote. Two jigs and two reels.
And that's the voice of the piper in the Bothy Band, Paddy Keenan, who is with us live in the studio today, along with guitarist John Walsh. They're going to be playing together on the Piper's Hut concert series in Urbana. Well, the series is generally based in Urbana, but the concert tonight is actually in Champaign, if barely, at the Upper Bout Guitar Store. The show's going to start at 8 o'clock. And pleased to welcome Paddy Keenan back to the show. It's been quite a while since he was on once before. Also playing on the Piper's Hut series, I believe. And I think, John, it's your first time in this studio, if I recall. Yeah. So thanks to you both for driving down
from
Chicago. Were you playing in Chicago last night?
We did, yeah. We played in Chief O'Neill's. That's a famous pub after Chief O'Neill, the Captain Chief O'Neill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he supposedly saved Irish music from.
Supposedly.
Oh no, he did. He wrote the book, really.
Can you describe how it was he saved Irish music?
I honestly don't know a whole lot about it, to be quite honest with you.
Make something up.
I wouldn't go down too well with my John. You probably know more.
Yeah,
there's
a book that he put together in the early 1900s, I think it was. And it was mostly to do with, well, not mostly, it was all, it was like a famous book, the 1001 Irish Tunes by Captain Francis O'Neill. He was only captain at the time. After he wrote the book, they made him chief. I'm not sure about that, but but it's, yeah, a load of jigs, reels, hornpipes, airs.
1001
it's like an encyclopedia, really, of traditional Irish music.
And chief of what?
He was a police. Police chief.
Oh, all right.
Chief of the police in Chicago, I believe.
Well, that tells you that I don't know much about my Irish history, in spite of my last name, at all. Certainly don't know my Chicago Irish history, or et cetera, et cetera. But I played, you know, I suppose it's obvious to play the Bothy Band whenever you have Paddy Keenan on the show, because the Bothy Band still I read among, you know, all of their albums tend to be among the highest rated, so to speak, best thought of traditional Irish bands. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, it was so important for reasons you would be able to tell me better than I can say in the development of traditional Irish music or the redevelopment of traditional Irish music. Well, I mean, I know you were in it, but, you know, what do you hear from people? Or maybe, John, you can comment on, you know, why why was this considered such a groundbreaking group at the time?
It was the combination of we played three lead musicians playing Irish music, and that's traditional Irish music. And I don't think the arrangements and backing system had ever been there before, as it was with that band.
The what system?
The backing and the arrangements. We had Donal Lunny, who had been with Planxty, and most of the musicians there had all played with successful bands prior to that. So it's rare you find actually three, as Tommy Peoples, myself, and Matt, find three musicians like that who can sit down and just play, compliment each other, and not have to even think about much what's happening. Just play the music and found ourselves gelling together as we did. And then there was the whole backing system. We found ourselves with the arrangements. A lot to do with Donal, actually, and Micheál and Trina. We supplied the tunes, and we all were involved in some way or other with the arrangements, but we found ourselves playing in places where other Irish bands hadn't played before. As in, for example, the rock venue in London back in the 70s, and places like Pink Pop Festival with the Kinks and Golden Earrings and stuff like that. And to have an acoustic Irish traditional band play at those festivals was a huge thing back then. And from there on, I mean, when I first came to the States, I think it was 75, and we had a very short tour of the States and Canada. And in fact, the band only lasted 4 years max, I'd say. And to see, at my age now, coming here, to see that there are kids still talking about Bothy Band, and it's been handed down, I'm sure, by their parents, but to see the influence, I wasn't at all aware of that. I was very surprised to see that they are still up there. The music that we produced back then is still influencing kids today.
When you're talking about the backing system, is that what we would call the rhythm section?
Yeah, sorry. There was clavinet, guitars, bazookis, barons, with the other three musicians.
So a little different than piano, bass, and drums. Simple as that, you know, would be the standard pop rock.
Bowron was always there, but to have pipes, flute, and band, pipes, flute, and fiddle as well, that was kind of, I don't think that had been before. If it had, it would have been sometime, long time before then. Maybe the McPeaks would have been there a long time. But there was the Planxty as well, I suppose. But they didn't have the same lineup. I think we were the first lineup with pipes, fiddle, flute, and clavinet, bouzouki, which how long had the bouzouki been in Irish music then?
About 10 years at the
max.
Most.
Yeah. So new instrumentation, new arrangements, and rhythm section, and holding on to the roots of the music at the same time, no matter what the arrangement, was something I'd say unheard of before.
I understand the group will celebrate there will be the 40th anniversary of its first concert next year sometime. Does it bother you 40 years on to still have people asking you about the Bothy Band?
I listen back now and again. I mean, I don't listen back to much of my own stuff, but I hear it, you know, when I go places and people play it or it on radio or whatever. It doesn't really, because I'm not, you know, I don't listen to it that much myself, or to my own stuff for that matter, my own CDs since then. But back then, it didn't mean as much to me as it is today, listening back to it. I see more reason why people would be influenced as they were by it back then. But that's a hard question to answer. I don't listen to myself very much, my stuff, you know. And anyway, each time I play, and since then, I think I've moved on a lot. And each time I play, it's different. So I suppose that in itself would be reason to like what you've done or be surprised what you did. But I don't know. I don't know. Man, I can't say I dislike the music listening back to it.
But and then when guys like me just ask you about it as the first question out of our mouth.
If I say I love it, you know, yeah. and it was the best thing and the greatest thing that ever happened to Harry's music, that would sound a bit... wouldn't sound good, really, in my behalf. But it's... No, it music, I don't know whether... It brought the Irish music to a height, and then it went in all directions from there, and it went into sort of contemporary. And some people might think, oh, shit, you know, that was the beginning of music being lost in all sorts of directions. I don't know, really, what people would say if asked that question. But
Plan or thought of any sort of reunion concert for the 40th?
I wouldn't believe it. I don't think so. There has been lots of offers and stuff and huge sums of money and over the past years. And then Michal died. He was one of the singers, guitarists with the band about 5 to 10 years ago, I suppose. He died 8 years, I think, ago. And I don't see it, let's put it that way. A lot of bands have reformed. And in fact, we never really did have an official split. We took a break back in the beginning of 79. And
it's just been a pretty long break.
The longest in history.
Although you do get together now and then with former members, you know, in different projects.
We do. We meet up here and there and at festivals and on the road. I meet up a lot with Kevin. Sometimes back home at Trion, or Donald and Matt. They've all got their own things going too, you know.
I have a recording here I wanted to play for a couple of reasons that is with one of those members, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but it's Triana
Nidonal or O'Donnell, if you like.
O'Donnell will be the anglicized version of it. And this is off of The Long Grazing Acre, I think. Is this where I pulled it from? Yeah, and it's the one named for your mom, I believe.
This is Trina. Yeah, that's right. She's backing.
She's playing harmonium.
She's accompanying me with the harmonium.
Yeah, and also because you're playing the low whistle on this one. I mean, we're going to hear you soon enough playing a little of the pipes live along with John here. But I thought this was a beautiful tune, and it'll give me a chance to ask a couple of things afterwards. So, Mike, this is actually track 3 on that CD I just handed you a bit ago. And her name, Mary...
Trina?
No, your mom.
Oh, Mary Bravender.
Bravender. Yeah. I didn't want to mispronounce the last. Yeah. Patty Keenan with John Walsh are with us. They're going to be playing for us live soon enough. They're also going to be playing live tonight, where you can see and hear them in person at 8 o'clock at the Upper Bout Guitar Store in Champaign. This is Live and Local. Thank you. It's a song called Mary Bravender with Paddy Keenan on the low whistle and Triana Nidonnell on the harmonium, a keyboard instrument that very organ-like. Interesting that that has reeds, and so does the instrument that Paddy plays most often, which is the Illan pipes. And I think I may have failed during the course of this show thus far to even say that those are the instruments that the instrument you're going to be playing tonight. Paddy Keenan with guitarist John Walsh in our studio, going to play live shortly, and they'll be at the Upper Bout Guitar Store performing tonight at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program made possible with the support of the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. I wanted to ask you about that tune, and then a little bit about your family history, Paddy, if you don't mind. When you named that after, is it proper to call that a tune or a song? Because it has more of a song-like character an air.
There were words on mine, but that never came about, really. It's a lament, really. A slow air, if you like, you know, in memory of my mom. And what can I say? It's a slow air, really.
But well, that was my question: if it was in memory, if it was in
it
honor of,
it's in memory of my mom. Yeah.
And your dad, John Keenan. I understand that your family, part of a group of people, politely known as the Travelers.
Travelers of Ireland, yeah, equivalent, I suppose, to Gypsy, but wouldn't consider themselves gypsies. I mean, they consider themselves, their name, what they call themselves, traveler. Belpavi is the proper term used for Irish traveler. But they will go by travelers, and as opposed to gypsy. My dad was a traveler. My mom was from the settled world. And in fact, my mother played as well, and her father played. But
played the pipes?
No, he played flute, actually, and whistles and stuff like that. My dad's family, from his father and grandfather, played pipes and flute and fiddle. My dad plays; he was multi-instrumental.
And your mom?
She played a little on the accordion, not a whole lot, really. I think she heard enough of it from us too. But where we lived, 116 Oranmore Road, Ballyfermot, got the name of Radio 116 Oranmore Road. We'd be up until all hours of night playing, and have friends from around the area come to visit us. And you'd hear music in that house sometimes 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning. The milkman would be coming around when we'd be going to bed, or before even. So it was a very musical house, yeah.
So people would, it would be as if they were listening to the radio all night long and just come out of your house.
We probably drove the neighbors crazy, yeah. But we did at the time. We made reeds from, well, I did make my dad as well, reeds from elder, which is the local wood we had. And that was a softer, milder tone. It wasn't as cutting as the cane reed that we use today. So that sort of, I suppose, dampened a little or cushioned it a little from the neighbor's ears. But that's what they call this, the house where we lived.
I hear that elder makes a particularly powerful wizard's wand.
I haven't been blessed with it yet.
I don't know how many. I imagine some of them.
Actually, it mostly grows in graveyards in Ireland.
Is that true?
Elder, yeah. That's mostly where I would see it and find it and find the stuff to make my reeds from back then.
Do you mind talking a little bit about the Travelers and how that's... I mean, it's important to you in many ways.
It is, but I left at a very early age. I left, well, we settled in a house when I was about 6, 7 years old. And we moved off the road. My mum got my dad to move off the road when I was about six years old, to get the kids settled and little school and whatever she could afford. But we moved in somewhere around 1956, I think, and that was a massive change for me and the family, and the freedom of the open air to a walled in. In fact, it was like moving into a prison at the time for us as kids. And then, of course, the people in that area, they weren't well-off people. It was kind of a poorish area or estate, people around Ireland. And I don't know, we suffered quite a bit as kids, you know, from the school kids and the neighbours and stuff like that. We were seeing, because we had horses and carts coming into the estate, and we were known as travellers and possibly even second-class citizens coming into the place. They had nothing lower that they could look down upon. Where they were at was, they had nothing really. And to see someone they believed that as a low class.
So they were low enough in the socioeconomic
themselves,
and they just were probably glad to have somebody they could
abuse. And in actual fact, the travellers themselves were better off than the settled people a lot of the time. They could actually live on what the settled people were throwing out, which was anything from glass to cloth to scrap to whatever. And they took it away and had it sold it to recyclers, and they made more money from that than... Then the subtle person who threw it out could imagine. You know. Mm.
There's an article that's referenced on your website, which I did read, and it was really interesting about your life and also about the travelers, the Pavis, and which was actually a group of your family.
Yeah, my dad.
A group of
my dad.
That.
There was myself and Liam Weldon was a great singer from Ireland and from Dublin. And Johnny Flood was the guitarist, my brother on the banjo and fiddle, myself on pipes and flute, and then my dad joined in, and we had a little group going through the 60s. We played a lot of the folk clubs in and around Ireland, and got lots of chances to travel abroad, but my dad wasn't really into moving away from Ireland, like places like Germany or places like that, where there were folk festivals in England, but... We did. We played around. He had a small club in Slattery's of Capel Street, which was a pub in Dublin, and he had a club there once a week. And you'd find anyone in there. You could find us playing there, maybe three or four of us, and then in the next week there could be a whole football team of us there. You know, people coming and going. People like who are famous today, for that matter, would come in there and join in on the sessions. And I won't mention any names, but people that are well known today.
You mentioned in that article that there are certain characteristic occupations of the Pavi, but including musicians or sort of bard, you know, the storytellers, but also the traveling musician, and I think you even credit the people as essentially keeping alive traditional Irish music to that point.
Well, today more so than before, they get a whole lot more credit today than they did beforehand. They couldn't be schooled. They were travellers. So the people who were settled, who would have been the people schooled and educated by our neighbours who were occupying Ireland at the time as English. So we couldn't, or the traveller, let's say, could not be settled and educated. So they held on to more of their old culture and music, song and dance. And it's only today that they're getting a lot more recognition for that. Back then, I suppose, it was very different. But, there were tinsmiths. The people talk to me today about their parents talking about, you know, the news carriers, the tinsmith. The tinker, and then there were the coach builders, wagon builders. In fact, my granduncle was a wagon builder for the traveller and a somewhat coach builder for the settled people. So they were gifted tradesmen as well. Yeah.
And here you are, of course, coming out of that tradition and one of the finest players of this unwieldy instrument, the Uilleann pipes. Why don't we hear a live... demonstration of yourself and John Walsh on the guitar, and then ask you a few things about the instrument.
Let's check them out and see if they'll...
See if they're working?
Mm-hmm. They can be very temperamental. Let's see how they work. We'll do a couple of jigs. Mm-hmm.
Paddy Keenan on the Illan pipes and John Walsh on guitar. A couple of jigs, you said. Do they have names?
I think the first one's called The Turn Jacket, and the second one was The Humours of Glendart. And that's the first time I remember the names of those two tunes. We've been trying to remember them for the past week or two. But the pipes, as you hear there, you might hear a little bit of a squeak there or that, because they're not really, didn't get time to tune them in today. But it's the weather as well, you know, coming from dryness to dampness.
Oh, even if you're just down outside today, it's sunny and then it rains, and then sunny and rains. It's sort of bizarre.
Yeah, so I have to tune them into that. No matter where you are, you've got to tune them into various different climates. For example, I was in Russia about 3 or 4 weeks ago playing, and of course the weather, the climate there is very dry and cold. And then I move over here, down south here, where it's really humid and damp and humid, and any sort of extreme really affects them badly.
Understand there's, in your mind, a couple of types of pipers, those who fiddle with them and those who don't.
I do a lot of fiddling. I mean, I travel, so I have to move them around, and I make my own reeds, so I know a little more what to do to get them as close as possible, push them into tune. I'd hate to have to rely on someone else to make the reeds for me, because then you wouldn't know, I'm sure you obviously wouldn't know what to do to make them or push them into playing, especially even in places like where it's really, really humid or very, very dry. They are a trying instrument, and they will for all of your life if you take them up.
Do most pipers make their own reeds?
There aren't very many, actually. There's a few back home. There aren't very many of the professional pipers that the people who play for a living, or professional pipers that make their own reeds. They have people make them for them. And then whoever comes to play with them, they must tune to them. But making your own reeds means that you can actually tune to the instrument you're playing with. Mm. Maybe not exactly. And then, as you're playing, tuning changes depending on the temperature, the dryness, the dampness, humidity, whatever. It will move slightly up or down. So you've got to try and keep them steady as you can, and that's a job in itself.
Usually the folks that I hear complain about reeds are oboe players and bassoonists.
Yeah.
But it's a similar reed.
Well, no, it's similar in the sense that it's a two-bladed reed, but if you think about it, with Scottish pipes or oboe, they're blown by the mouth, so you've got constant moisture. And that doesn't change very much, really. But when you're playing these pipes, as you can see, I'm blowing with a bellows, so you're at the mercy of whatever you're dragging in there.
And that's all dry air coming out of the bellows, more or less.
If it's dry, it's too dry, it's not good. If it's too wet, it's not good. It has to be at the right. You can, if it's very dry, you can have a little sponge in here and damp it a little. But then if that's fractionally over, you're going to suffer. I played in places where literally near enough pump water into the reeds. And you just have to keep playing, near enough playing as you're walking on stage to keep them in.
To keep them moist.
To keep them in tune, yeah.
Yeah. Is it possible? Actually, you know a guy named Jake Schumacher, I believe.
I do, yes. Yeah. And I haven't seen that man in a long, long time. And I know it's many, many, it's a good few years ago now since I've met.
Well, he may. I don't know if he's planning to come to your show. He almost was in here today to tell folks about an event that's happening right before yours tonight, which I'll mention right now before I ask you a question that he wanted me to ask me, wanted me to ask you. And that is that it's something called a Roots Walk, which is reference to Roots music. That is being sponsored by the Urbana Park District and also by the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. And that's happening tonight. And I realize that it's either not in this whole stack of paper that I have in front of me, or it is and it's buried. But I believe it's running from 6 to 7:30 tonight at Crystal Lake Park. And the reason Jake was going to talk about it is that his traditional Irish band, which is essentially made of folks who participate in the traditional Irish session that happens every Wednesday in downtown Champaign, they're going to be playing tonight, and also a number of other performers. And I'll give you that list as soon as I find it. it's probably sitting right in front of me here somewhere. But Jake, I asked Jake, you know, what sort of things as somebody who is intimately involved in this kind of music himself, what would you want to know if you were going to be interviewing Patty? And so one of his questions was, is this instrument something that's easily taught or easily learned by older people, by which I think he meant not kids, or is it really best to learn it when you're a kid? And if you get older than that, then forget it.
I don't know. I wouldn't say forget it. I know people who are playing. You know, the old saying is from the old master of fifes, one of them anyway, it was Seamus Ennis, who came up. But you'd have to be playing like 21 years and all, but you start off with a practice set. You play them for 7 years, which is the chanter, bag and bellows. And then you add your drones, and that's the half set, and you play that for another 7 years. And then you add the regulators here, which is the backing system, in another 7 years. And it takes, obviously, that would be 21 years, the 3/7, but that's not true at all, really. I've met people playing for 2 years who are as good, if not better, than people who have been playing for 5 to 10 years. So you can't really say no. And it's never really too late to take up an instrument. Depends on where you want to go with it. I mean, obviously, if you start at a very young age, you're going to be... it's easier, to say the least. And also, if you grow up with an instrument, it sort of becomes part of you and part of your... It's like speech. It's like, for me, it's a way of expression. And that's why my music, no matter how subtle, if I play a tune now and play it 10 minutes later, it's going to be different. It's what keeps it interesting for me and exciting. Otherwise, it would be boring. But that comes from a very early age of playing. And also the fact, you know, your whole lifestyle, if you are using music to express you as an individual, your lifestyle, your upbringing, your everything is going to be affect your way of expression musically.
Well, and then just simply your personality and skill.
Yeah, you know. But I wouldn't put anyone off by saying, you know, it's too late. It's never too late, and it doesn't matter about age, really. Pipes are difficult at any age.
Is it something that one could teach oneself, or do you really need to get with somebody who knows what they're doing, particularly if you're an adult?
I don't know. I think you could teach yourself, but it's always good to have someone around that will, you know, let you know about reed making, tuning, and keeping them in the right pressure and balanced and all that sort of thing. It's good to have another around, because if you go into a session, the worst thing in the world is a set of pipes that's out of tune or squeaking and squawking, you know.
Are there any YouTube videos by Patty Keenan, how to play the Ellen Pipes?
There's a lot of rubbish up there. I wouldn't. You know, there might be one or two amongst hundreds of YouTube stuff that, you know, people put up from phones and God knows what else. I don't think there's one decent one up there. There might be one or two, just one or two with John here up in there. There's one that we did in what was it, Toronto? I think that I'm okay with, but the rest of us really.
But you haven't done any kind of educational series yourself or anything like that?
No, I sometimes give lessons or sometimes give workshops, but that's rare too.
Not to be found on YouTube, though.
No. But there are people actually giving lessons, and I've thought about it with Skype. And I think that's what most of them are using, isn't it, Skype?
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you can have a personal interaction of some sort.
At YouTube, yeah, you could, I suppose. I have friends who have put up reed making and various different, because we all have different, those of us who make our reeds and pipes or whatever have different ways of reed making and different ideas, and from experimenting we find different ways that make things better. So it's always good to see I haven't done it, no, but I have friends who have done it, sorry. Who put up reed making programs or classes or whatever you like to call them.
Yeah. We've been, you know, I've been talking with Patty almost exclusively for the show so far, and I don't want to pretend that John Walsh isn't actually sitting here in the same room.
Oh, hi, John. How you doing?
Well, that's...
I do have a CD of yours, John, that somebody was kind enough to send me. which is, let's see, which I don't know how you say this.
Hindotri.
Which means?
1, 2, 3.
I was wondering if it was as simple as that. And I picked a tune off of here, mostly because it's got a variety of performers on it. You have a what I assume are a bunch of family members that appear with you on this CD somewhere or another, particularly on a kid's Christmas. But this is called Bird in the Bush.
All right, yeah.
Is this one of your tunes? Is this a traditional tune?
No, this is a traditional one, yeah. And I was in Amsterdam at the time, and I was staying with a friend who had a studio there, and there was three of us that had been in a band before in Kilkenny in Ireland, and we were just messing around. He just got some new equipment, and I was just picking out the tune, and another friend was playing the Bowron at it, and the mandolin on it didn't arrive on it till about maybe 2 or 3 months afterwards. It was one of the first ones I remember at the time that he'd sent me over the internet the mandolin tracks for it. Took a while to download it at the time. And then we just added it in and mixed it all together. So that's how we did that one, yeah.
And, of course, usually the guitar is an accompanying instrument in Irish music, but every once in a while, gets to be a melodic one. Was that part of your motivation in making this CD?
Yeah, it really was with that one, yeah. It was pretty much that. Even still, there's a competition, traditional music competition called the Flat Gyol. It's a music festival. And it's what you call it, like a tournament, a competition, really, for like the best musicians on each instrument. And the guitar is still on the miscellaneous list. Or you could get a medal for accompaniment, or it's still like it's not a recognized instrument. So it's like on the ladder of traditional instruments, it's on the bottom rung.
So we were talking about people who could look down on others, and people could apparently competitions look down on the guitarists.
I think it's kind of I'm not totally on with competitions for music either, because I think a lot of what could be great musicians are lost in it, because once they lose or they don't place in a competition, they kind of lose faith in themselves and something that they might have enjoyed doing already. And so I'm not really happy with competitions like that, you know. I don't think music should be like the Olympics, you know, in that way.
Well, here's a non-competitive tune called Bird in the Bush with guitarist John Walsh. He and Ellen Piper, Paddy Keenan, will be playing tonight at 8 o'clock at the Upper Bout Guitar Store on South Neal Street in Champaign. Show starts at 8 o'clock, and you're listening to Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Thank you. guitarist John Walsh. The tune called Bird in the Bush from his CD that, say it again?
Endo Tree.
Endo Tree,
yeah.
Which just means 1, 2, 3. Why is it called 1, 2, 3?
That's pretty much when school, when we were, like everybody in school was learning the tin whistle. It was like the first instrument that I knew, and that's how the teachers used to count it out in Irish. Endo Tree, and then into the tune. That was
and
it.
Then they go. Yeah. So on this performance, we also heard Lincoln Schleifer.
Lincoln, yeah, Lincoln Schleifer, yeah.
Schleifer on the bass, and drummer Danny McDermott. Who else was on here? Keith O'Neill, was there a fiddle on that one?
Keith played fiddle, yeah. Not on that one, no. Paddy's on that album, too.
And then a cittern
Pat Kilbride,
player.
Yeah.
What is the cittern?
Cittern, it's like a 10-string... Well, like with the bouzouki, the Irish bouzouki now, you've got 8 strings. And it's a 5-course, double strings. Like you'd have mandolin, where you have 2 strings instead of the 1. And then there's 5. And it's like a longer scale neck on the cittern.
Hmm.
I think it's originally an English instrument. It comes from the lute, from what I know.
Yeah, it's one of those... It would be interesting to see a list of instruments with among the more amusing names, and that would be on my list anyway,
Cittern,
along with sackbut and rummelpot.
Okay, hurdy-gurdy.
That's a good one on the list. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and our programs today are made possible, as always, with the support of the Friends of WILL. And in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. Patty Keenan and John Walsh will play at the Upper Bout Guitar Store at 8 o'clock tonight, and they're kind enough to join us live here in our studio. And Patty has his... which instrument is this? Is this a low whistle? What is this one?
This is a low whistle. The last one I had there was played on that recording you just played. The album was in D. Low D whistle, and this is a low F, made by Michael Grinter in Australia, made of cocobolo wood.
I have a baton that has a cocobolo handle.
Yeah.
It's lovely wood.
Actually, it's supposed to be poisonous wood or toxic wood of some kind.
Oh, nice.
Nice to hear that.
Good thing you're holding on to it.
After I've been playing it for so long. Now, this is, we'll play a tune on this. John will start a tune. It's a little tune I came together some years ago when my daughter was a little tot. She's now 17 and heading off to college. So this is when she was a little one. It's called Sabrina, and John plays it on the guitar. It sounds really nice on the guitar, and I'll join him on this. Thank you.
Sabrina.
A little lullaby tune.
Oh, it's lovely. So we heard earlier, I think you called it a... Oh, it wasn't eulogy. What was it? Mary Bravender for your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say eulogy? No, that's not the right word. That's a eulogy is something you speak. The type of tune.
Oh, that tune. Well, that was like when she was a little kid. That tune here.
Yeah, no, that's not that kind. Yeah.
No, well, not really. But I'd be reading stories, and one night I play this tune at a different tempo or rhythm. And she went to sleep straight away. So, and I was just fiddling and noodling around with it, and it came from there. So it's just like it was meant to be a little lullaby.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And the other tune is in memory of my mum after she died. And in actual fact, there's another tune on one of the other albums there that I play a lot, and it's very similar to my mum's tune, which is my dad's tune.
Mm.
So sometimes I marry the two of them when I'm playing together.
Appropriate enough,
so
it seems.
In memory of both of them, yeah.
Paddy Keenan on the low whistle and John Walsh on the guitar here on Live and Local. And I do have the information on the Roots Walk. They're, with the weather being sort of odd today, up and down, the last word as of 4 o'clock is that the Roots Walk is on for tonight from 6 to 7:30 for free at Crystal Lake Park in Urbana. And it will include performances by the Flower Jacks, guitarist Justin Rondon, singer-songwriter, I should say, Sam Payne and Friends, Don't Ask Klezmer Band, guitarist John Elder, and then the Irish band I mentioned earlier, Monster Buttermilk, the name of them, and then some traditional folk tales from storyteller Linda Dust. That's all tonight from 6 to 7:30. If you want to check in for sure in the case that the weather becomes again inclement, call the Park District Sports and Event Hotline at 217-367-9575. 367-9575. And if you want information on Piper's Hut events, and it's the Piper's Hut series on which Paddy Keenan and John Walsh are playing tonight, it's pipers-hut.com. But their show is at 8 o'clock tonight at the Upper Bout Guitar Store, which is 723 South Neal Street in Champaign. Starts at 8 o'clock tonight. And it's certainly a pleasure to have these gentlemen on the show with us today. And I hope you'll take us out with one more set, perhaps?
Sure.
And you discuss amongst yourselves what it'll be, and I'll do my last bit of business here, which is to say that you're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.
Let me just check my tuning here and see if... Wow. Just give me a second answer. This is a little jig. It's called Willie Coleman's. Okay. That was in G. Thank you.
Paddy Keenan on the Illan pipes and John Walsh on guitar. Join him tonight at 8 o'clock at the Upper Belt in Champaign on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. John, are you going to do some singing tonight?
Yeah, I think I might.
You think you might?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll take that as a probably will.
Yeah. We'll also be some banjo maybe tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Banjo, pipes, flutes, whistles, guitar, and voice.
So a lot of variety. That should be a lot of fun.
We tell jokes.
We also would like to mention that musicians are coming to bring their instruments with them because it's nice to have them join us at the end.
Thank you very much. Thanks all for listening. Thanks for playing for us today. It's 5 o'clock.